get away from all that nonsense. So we'll get into all that, but I think I'd be remiss if we start there because there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get into the fun stuff. Melo goes to OKC. So somehow he goes from New York with maybe the most poppin' nightlife to OKC with probably the worst nightlife in the league, which I find funny. Dwayne Wade gets a buyout. Derek has a foot and mouth segment and some news, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I got news. I'm sorry I didn't put it in there.
No worries. Yeah. I kind of assumed that's... Yeah. Because you
natural.
Do that stuff.
Yeah.
But football is back. And what I mean by football is back, I know it got here 2 weeks ago, but it was terrible, and now it's finally good. Sunday was awesome. Thursday was awesome. Hopefully tonight is going to be awesome as well.
The rust is kind of shaking off now, you know? They're kind of like, all right, we're kind of in season gear right now.
Right,
you
right. Know,
like, it takes you a little bit of time.
So let's talk about the games before we get into all the extracurricular nonsense, because There were some awesome games. There was a lot of fun to be had. And so let's celebrate some of that. Let's go back in time, all the way back to last Thursday, if we could. The Niners looked like a halfway competent football team.
They scored a touchdown, right? They got a touchdown.
They scored several.
Yeah.
Against the Rams.
Hey, the Rams are, that defense is that's a legit defense.
Yeah, and
their
Rams could possibly,
is coming alive.
I'd say they're the third best team in the
West.
I don't think that's saying a lot right
Arizona
now,
Arizona would probably win the West. You think one.
I don't think that's saying a lot though.
No.
I mean, if you look
it used
at the
to
last,
say so, it really well, it used to say nothing for a long time. Then it was like, oh, it's really something. Now it's back to
last,
like
look at the last 3 weeks of the NFC West. It's not been pretty. Every game, every game has been pretty atrocious.
Seattle is,
as far as Seattle Seattle Tennessee game this week was pretty good. Lived up to the hype. Rams
Tennessee's actually lived up to the hype. I feel that's what's happened. Seattle
Rams Niners was entertaining. But that entire division is on the decline right now. I mean, whether it be injury or you're being run by Jed York or whatever it is.
I mean, Brian Hoyer is your quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's still a thing. And I don't take back any of my comments about Brian Hoyer just because he had one decent game. He still missed a lot of throws, and Marquise Goodwin had a layout like 12 different times.
That's what he should be.
Yeah, he should be. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to mention that the Niners finally look halfway competent, and I could sit through a whole game without tearing out my hair.
Who would have thought that this week the Niners-Rams would have been the best game of the week?
That was
the most entertaining game.
It was an awesome game.
Right down to the wire.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, who would have thought we would have had a shootout between those two?
Yeah.
I said in the first 5 minutes to my neighbor who I was watching the game with, I was like, is this going to be a shootout? And we both started hysterically laughing. And it was.
I think the over-under was like 15 or something like that.
My Houston status.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the Niners as a team still have a long way to go. But I think a lot of Niners fans, at least reasonable Niners fans, this is all we can actually really ask of the team is to be competent and competitive. And, you know, score a couple touchdowns and be in the game in the fourth quarter. We don't necessarily have to win them. In fact, I think it's better for us long term if we lose every game. Maybe win one or two, but you know what I mean.
Like, don't lose out all hope. But you
but
know,
this week,
no,
this
you're
week
not
there
going
was to. A lot. There was a lot of upsets. I feel like there was a lot of teams where, like,
I mean, you crossed the bay like, right now, and
like
you
we
get
did
the big
one
right there.
Like last week, we started our pick five. You know, and this week I looked at all the team. I'm like, oh, this is an easy pick five.
Yeah,
this is an easy week
without
for
a doubt.
And I think I got one right. Out of my five.
Maybe on two.
It was difficult. It was definitely difficult. So let's talk about that. Last week, we started by praising the Raiders being an all-around team.
Yes.
So now we have to overreact and then say the Raiders season's over. So
yeah. You like
you have to do that. You have to.
That's what we
do.
What,
you know, that's the
you
sports
like that.
World.
You
it is,
like
I mean,
that.
I mean, you have to admit, though, like, they... Is Washington really that good? Like, can we believe?
No,
that's the thing. They're not.
Did I? Like, hold on. Can we? Before we move on, did I say anything that was right last week? Because I feel like everything I said. Kirk Cousins came out and played great, and I talked about how terrible he was. I talked about how terrible Brian Hoyer is and the Niners. And Brian Hoyer threw for, I believe, 300 yards or right around there.
Three TDs.
Yeah.
You are a sports savant. That's what
not helping my case at all.
And you said the Raiders were the most well-rounded team.
Yes, these are all things I said. So
lost.
I mean, I think a lot of people would kind of agree with you at many of those statements.
Yeah.
I still kind of do.
Yeah.
I just feel like as, in regards to the Raider game, I feel like this week they really got exposed on the defensive end in the sense of that. There's not that like commanding leader. You know, they have that Khalil Mack. They have those big players, but they don't, you know, Bruce Irving, you know, Super Bowl player, but they don't have that, you know, middle linebacker hold it down, you know, tell you where you need to go, kind of pre-anticipate plays. And it really showed with their secondary. And they, I mean, they were on the field a lot that game, but
yeah,
it really showed their defense is in need of some work for sure.
I thought the most troubling thing, if I'm a Raiders fan, is how that front or that offensive line just got manhandled, and the Redskins weren't even blitzing much of the game. They're just bringing four and getting pressure on Derek Carr the entire game. So that
is never a good thing for you.
Yeah,
if four gets you deep, like pressure on a quarterback, you should be all day in the pocket.
Yeah, you're just not going to win games that way. So. I thought that was pretty surprising. And around the league, there is just all sorts of nonsense going on, obviously, with the anthem and whatnot. But on the field, too, is Pittsburgh any good? Because I don't know. And I've been wondering that for 3 weeks now. I thought they would be a possible Super Bowl contender.
Well, what's funny you say that. I thought I was going to argue that the Ravens were going to win that division.
Yeah.
And then I saw them play the Jags, and it was like, what is
this
going
world
on?
Is just kind of flips upside down.
Where
right
were
now.
They playing? Because I woke
London.
Up and it was okay. I was going to say
because
I woke up and it was 37-0. I'm like, what game did I miss?
Yeah.
44-7 was the final score.
For right.
Baltimore Jaguars with Baltimore, who had the best defense in the league at the time, taking away the ball all the time, and
jeez,
you gave up 44 to the Jaguars.
Yeah, and then the Steelers losing to the Bears. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
What?
I don't know what's happening in the league right now. It makes no sense to me. Whatsoever. But that's okay. We had Jacoby Brissett looking like a future Hall of Famer against the Cleveland Browns. I'm sorry, G. Grant's in here right now. And Jacoby Brissett absolutely dismantled. Well, that was actually a great game this weekend.
It was.
Browns fans, Sundays have never been days of worship.
back in the 70s, maybe, but...
Fine church, man. That's what I have to say.
Yeah.
I did take the over in that game, though, so that was nice. So I appreciate the Colts and Browns for just scoring a bunch.
Is that why you said you were having a bad day?
Did
your bets go kind of sideways?
A little sideways.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Yeah. We don't need to put all your business out there.
Yeah, he has no money now.
Yeah.
He's really looking for it. He just asked me for money before he came in.
Sorry, Taylor.
Yeah. We also found out Stephon Diggs is clearly the best player ever to play.
No, Case Keenum.
Oh, sorry. Case Keenum is the greatest quarterback of all time. That is not to be disputed or argued. It's just a fact.
That's fact. That's science.
Stephon Diggs had an incredible game. At one point, he had 173 yards in either two or three TDs, and it was the third quarter was just starting. So shouts to you if you had him on your fantasy squad. Minnesota looks pretty legit. Doesn't seem like it matters too much who's behind center there.
Didn't they lose to Pittsburgh last week?
Oh, yeah, that did happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad too. It wasn't
Case Keenum was playing too. So,
but that was.
But that was before he was the best.
Oh, that's right. I apologize.
That was before he stepped into stardom. Before he had a week under his belt.
Yeah,
you know?
Stepped into stardom now. Like, yeah. He's traveling.
Look at Brissett. You know, Brissett his first week. You know, kind of struggled against the Cardinals. Right. This week, he's first ballot.
First ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. No question about it. Put your money down right now. Speaking of first ballot Hall of Famers, Tom Brady just does it again. First of all, Brian, is it what's the coach's name? I'm drawing a blank there.
Bill Belichick?
No. Obviously.
Bill Belichick.
The other guy.
Brian is not the name. Are you talking about the offensive coordinator?
No,
the Texans.
For the Texans.
Oh.
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. Bill O'Brien, yes. Yeah. I knew there was a Brian in there, but
which was
good old
the,
Butchin.
Which was the quarterback offensive coordinator for the
for
Patriots.
For the Patriots, yeah. So he cowardly decides to punt on a fourth and like half an inch. And, of course, Tom Brady throws an absolute bomb at the end of the game that was placed perfectly, and I just don't know what you do about that to Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
And Minnesota, or I mean, I'm sorry,
Houston
Minnesota.
Had it in the bag, man. They really
Houston
did.
Houston had it.
They were dominating the Patriots that entire game.
Yeah, Watson could have been the first rookie ever to go into Foxborough or Gillette or whatever the hell they're calling it nowadays and get a win.
Yeah.
Under this, you know, Belichick-Brady regime. And his coach coughed it up. And I always find this funny is when coaches call their players out for toughness and then they show cowardice like that, that they're too scared to go for it on a fourth and quarter inch. And really, if you're Houston, what do you have to lose there besides the game?
Why would you do that?
I don't understand.
You have a chance at, like, you're last place. You're not going anywhere.
You're a Houston fan, though. You're excited about your team. Deshaun Watson looked like he can actually hold down the fort and, like, become the player that everyone thinks he can be. So I'm looking for big things out of the Texans. I think Texans make playoffs this year and sneak by.
Well, they're in a terrible division.
Exactly.
So they have a great chance. So that was surprising. Miami all of a sudden is the worst team in the history of the NFL. Well,
Jay Cutler just showing his true colors again.
I can't believe. I mean,
don't care.
Greatest story. I mean, that's everything about Jay Cutler. For those of you who don't know this inside joke, basically Jay Cutler was using a urinal. Another gentleman walked in and began to talk to Jay Cutler and tell
breaking code right there, bro.
Yeah, that's 100% breaking code, and telling him how much of a fan he was of his at Vandy, and he interrupted him by tilting his head back and just yelling, "Don't care." And so that's why we love Jay Cutler around here. But Miami, I feel bad for them. The hurricane cancels their first home game, and they're on the road for, I believe, 6 or 7 weeks straight. And they go to London next week. So good luck to the MIA. You get a hurricane.
Wait, was that specifically designed? Like, did it just happen that way? That's the way the
I think
NFL
it just happened. Just happenstance, you know?
Okay. I know some schedules get kind of weird, but that just seems.
Yeah, no, they start their season like six.
So they don't get their first home game until like 2 months into the season.
Basically, okay. Yes.
Hey, they might be pretty good then.
Maybe. The Giants, and we're doing this rapid fire because we have so much to talk about. So we'll just kind of, everyone just jump in when you feel it necessary. The Giants are terrible. Their offensive line is still terrible. Odell Beckham.
He's good.
He's great.
He's so good. Cut off one of his arms. He's still probably top five receiver in the league.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He's at least top 15.
Yeah. Like,
you probably take the other two fingers off one of those hands. He's still good. You know, he's good.
Right. But they're still terrible. And that's fun because I like making fun of Giants fans. But Philadelphia wins on a 61-yard field goal by a rookie kicker, I believe.
He was on their practice squad.
And by inches, too.
Yes.
Hey, man. You try kicking a 61-yarder.
You know what? That was perfectly placed.
I missed by miles. I'm just saying. So.
And that was fun just because a lot of you got to see, if you're on social media, you saw the video of his parents reacting to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome.
His first game, I believe. So that was really cool. So the Giants are no good. I don't know what to make of Carolina because they've looked terrible in all three of their games,
say,
and they're 2-1.
They got lucky playing. They got the Niners first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first week.
No, that was second week.
That was the first week.
Yeah, that was the first game.
Oh. Who did they get last week? I can't remember. But somebody
like 12-3, though.
Yeah, that's right. Buffalo. 9-3 Buffalo. Oh. Buffalo looks semi-competent, too. That's the thing.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor, I think, is a good quarterback.
Ty God.
Seattle loses again. They're 1-2, I believe, and they could easily be 0-3 if Brian Hoyer was even just a little bit competent. I've been using the word competent too much. If he was an okay quarterback in that.
Good transitional word.
If he was halfway decent, they could be 0-3 right now. But Tennessee looks legit. Seattle, I don't know what to make of that team because I know their defense is good, but I have precious little evidence that their offense is. So I don't know. The NFC West seems to be pretty wide open right now, which is scary when the Niners are in that division. But
so are you saying that the Niners could actually go to the playoffs?
No.
Oh, okay. I just want to clarify that.
Okay. I don't want to say wide open. The door's open about a foot and a half right now. It's not swung all the way
like
open.
Like Jim Carrey, Dumber Dumber, you mean there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly.
All right.
Kansas City continues to impress.
Kansas City's Super Bowl bound, let's face it.
Yeah, I don't want to go that far just yet, but Hunt looks legit. He's
and
the first
Alex Smith.
Player ever. I believe he's either the first or the second player to ever start
as a rookie
his career with three straight games with a 50-yard touchdown or more. Mm-hmm. And they have weapons all over the field, which is crazy. Kareem Hunt just absolutely killing it out there. Denver loses. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah.
They lose because of a stupid call about Von Miller.
Hey, I got a good laugh out of it, though.
It was funny.
It looked like Tyrod.
And they're buddies, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. It looked like they both got a good laugh out of it. That's what I mean. I don't know if you have to make that call, but if you see two players giggling and laughing with each other and, and you're really going to throw it unsportsmanlike.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Like, was it unsportsmanlike when they're laughing with each other? You know what I mean? It's like, it's so one
we're
thing.
We're all too ticky-tacky on this stuff.
So
anyway,
for those of you who don't know, real quick summary of what happened there. Von Miller got the sack. He sacked
him. It was just
him.
A pressure. He
knocked
Tyrod,
him down.
Yeah, Tyrod threw it, and then he hit him in motion.
Yeah, and so they didn't convert the third down. Von Miller hits Tyrod Taylor, extends his hand as if he's going to help him up, and then pulls it away, and they're laughing about it. He gets an unsportsmanlike...
which was so crucial in that game. I don't know if you guys were watching that game, but it was a close...
It was a seven-point game.
Right.
At that point, they would have punted to Denver. Denver at least would have had a chance to come back and tie the game. Who knows what would have happened, but they would have had a chance, and that was kind of stripped from them. So that was something else.
Speaking of dumb rules, catches in the NFL are dumb. Going to Detroit, Atlanta. Also, it's just
don't know what a catch is. Still don't know what a touchdown is.
What's crazy?
10-second runoff. It seems like an archaic rule, but I'm sorry, Detroit.
I get the runoff, but I mean, you relook at that replay with Golden Tate. It's like you're trying to tell me that Odell Beckham's one-handed catch this week, where he's fumbling it and gets it on like the side of his shoulder. And drags his foot. You're calling that's a definitive catch, but Golden Tate did is
you call a touchdown and you reverse it.
Right, but I mean there's no one touching there. It's through motion when you're falling. It's not.
Yeah.
I think that was so. I mean, they got
screwed for sure.
They got rulers out and had it. Yeah, I mean, who calls
rulers?
I mean, there was a centimeter between that ball and that goal line.
And you couldn't tell if the defender actually had his glove on him. So that was all. That was a mess.
Yeah.
And Detroit was moments away from being 3-0. And Atlanta was moments away from being 1-2. And they really could
They're 3-0.
Yeah, they're 3-0 now.
I mean, I'm sorry. They're moments away from being 2-1. They could easily be 1-2.
Yeah.
That Chicago game, they got lucky. And then obviously they got lucky yesterday. But football was fun, man. This was... Finally, we've been harping. I've been railing against football for 2.5 weeks now. Just how terrible the product's been on the field. And yesterday, I had to eat my words because it was fun all day long. There was a ton of touchdowns, ton of scoring, back and forth games. I didn't even mention Green Bay. Green Bay wins in overtime. Cincinnati continues to struggle. That game was awesome.
But Cincinnati looked better.
Yeah,
they
in
did.
This game. They looked.
Their
new
offensive coordinator.
They kind of crapped the bed at the very end of it. But
yeah.
I mean they.
But I mean,
offensive coordinator, like you said, Brad. That's I feel like that's one of their best changes for the season.
I think there's one guy, maybe two guys in the history of the NFL that can make the pass that Rodgers made at the end of the game when he split the safety and corner. Who, I mean, Allison was covered and.
Oh, yeah.
He threw that ball so damn hard. It was unbelievable.
That was just Brett Favre-esque right there.
Yeah, I think it would be him, and then Tom Brady's the other one that possibly could have made that one.
Dan Marino, back in the day, Dan Marino had a huge cannon, was incredibly accurate. But, yeah, there's only a handful of guys on planet Earth, in the history of planet Earth, that can make that pass. And fortunately for Brad, who is a Green Bay fan, you have one of them on your team.
Yep.
Chico product himself, Aaron Rodgers, just... God, that was a sweet pass. And they came back from a 21-7 deficit and went in overtime. So, man, that was fun. Let's talk about what wasn't fun, which was my Twitter timeline.
Here we go.
Which was my Bleacher Report updates, which was my ESPN updates. I've never had ESPN and Bleacher Report send me so much stuff about Trump in one day and reactions to Trump. And there's a lot to discuss here, which I think would be better in a longer format, more of a long-form discussion, because I want to have fun on this show. I do this show. I think we all do this show because we love sports and we like having fun with it. And I didn't find any of this fun. If you were away camping and this is your first time hearing any media or anything, basically, without giving you all the tweets, you can look them up yourself and the sound bites. Trump came out and railed against NFL players taking a knee, called them SOBs, and said that owners should fire these SOBs, which just created a firestorm. So I don't even know where to start with this, honestly.
Sad is really what it is.
It is. It's sad. It's, you know, let's start here. I really hope that in 3 years from now, we look back on this and we all kind of laugh and we don't take what Trump says so serious. The only reason anyone does, obviously, is because the office he holds. But at this point, he's kind of proven to be reckless behind a microphone.
No, behind his phone. He's like behind everything.
Yeah, his Twitter fingers.
He's like a 17-year-old high school girl with an iPhone.
Right.
Like, just really petty and just...
That's really accurate. That is extremely accurate.
Yes,
he really is just... Correction. 17-year-old high school girls have better hair. Oh,
that's correct.
But other than that, it's pretty spot on. The fake tan, the just... The disregard for anyone's feeling whatsoever, the non-thought process of what you're about to send. Like, there's no thought process in his head where, like, he's at that send, that confirm button on Twitter, and it's like, yeah, maybe this isn't a good idea.
No.
There's none of that.
No, go ahead and tweet that.
It's all great ideas, because he never comes up with bad ones, man. You should know that
all
by
great
now.
Ideas.
No,
they're all great ideas.
Brilliant. That's brilliant. I have terrific. To let everyone know what is going on in this head, because it's
going
to
be huge.
So, like I said, that started a firestorm. Several several NFL teams, because he started some stuff with NBA too, but several NFL teams didn't even bother coming out of the locker room, which I actually thought was kind of a brilliant move. It's like, look, let's remove ourselves from this. Tomlin said, I don't want our team to be politically divided. We're here to play football, and we're getting dragged into this BS. He had a player.
Yeah, so you have to give, what's his name, Alejandro Villanueva, I believe his name was.
Yeah.
Lineman for them.
He's an offensive tackle. He's done 3 tours in Afghanistan, very decorated.
Army Ranger
came out and decided that he was, even though the whole team stayed in the tunnel and in the locker room, he decided he had to go out and put his hand over his heart during the national anthem, which, I mean, being that he's an Army vet, makes this a really difficult thing to criticize. I do wonder, however, how that would have been received had he kneeled instead. And it's hard to call the guy selfish when he put his life on the line 3 different times for the country. But again, there were guys standing in the tunnel with their hands over his heart. He could have chosen to do that, but he decided to get out front and center. And I am not gonna sit here and criticize him. I'm just bringing up other counterpoints to it, because anyone who's willing to do that, I don't think today and this platform is the place where you come out and start railing against that guy. I will say that, something interesting, his jersey is the number one selling jersey right now.
No way.
Wow, really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Up, yeah.
Which is interesting. And I think Cap is number 2 or number 3.
Wow.
And he's not even on the team.
Yeah. Wait, for the Niners?
No, in the NFL.
No, I meant like he's...
Like his Niners.
Yeah, his Niners jersey, Niner, yes.
Wow.
Which is interesting. But look, there's so many layers to this. I think I speaking as my father is black, speaking as an African-American man, I think the one most offensive thing, at least for me, about all of this is that the conversation about police brutality and oppression gets derailed. And we talk about a flag and respecting a flag and symbolism and an anthem. And Kaepernick didn't kneel or sit originally and then kneel to bring up a debate about the national anthem or the flag. He was sitting and kneeling to bring awareness and to start a dialogue about police brutality. And I think it's offensive that oftentimes we care more about that than the fact that there is a large segment of our population that every time we're pulled over, we're terrified. And this isn't, I'm not speaking for anyone else, though I am, because I have friends that have experienced this and I've experienced it myself, as we've discussed on the show many, many times, and I really don't want to go all the way back down that road. But it's offensive to me that this has been derailed and become a thing about the national anthem and the flag when the entire conversation was about police brutality and oppression to begin with and racism. But it's the easy stance, like, let's go down this road about the flag instead of...
Well, it's more comfortable for people, you
Absolutely.
Know, that this protest, whether it be violent or not violent, it's uncomfortable for a lot of people in this country. And so they'd rather just sweep it under the rug as, oh, it's a flag issue rather than on ESPN First Take this morning. They had Bob Lee on, mm-hmm. which is a great, great journalist, done a lot all over sports.
Yep.
And he was really frustrated on this morning on the show saying there's too much of the what is happening and not the why. You know, no one's asking why this is happening, mm-hmm. why people are taking these stances, why professional athletes are kneeling and sitting. It's always what are they, you know, what they're doing and what they're doing to the flag. What's funny is they took the time to look. They found an Everyday Joe on Twitter. His tweet has been retweeted, I think, over a million times. And he came, he put on about four or five pictures on Twitter about the flag's code. There's a code of the flag.
I was just about to bring that up.
And so and what's ironic is, you know, the one of the very first codes is holding the flag flat and horizontal.
Before
every single game.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's like, and the fact that we have it on perishable item clothing, perishable items, plastics, stuff like that, it's like, and no one for years has said anything about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a business, it's a marketing scheme.
Yeah.
But the second people are doing it in their own right, it's asinine logic to me. I don't see it. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I was just going to bring that up. It's like you have all these different businesses that will sell all that stuff, but nowhere in the code of respecting the flag does it say how to present your honor to the flag. Like kneeling, standing, whatever. That's if you want to decide that's how you're going to honor the flag. That's how you honor the flag.
Right.
Please stand, sit, or kneel.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter. How do you honor?
What's funny, too, is, I mean, think about a few years ago when Tebow, I mean, we had the Tebowing. You know what I mean? He knelt for the national anthem, and that was an honor.
Right.
You know what I mean? People were like, oh, wow, he's being really respectful and honoring. It's like
did he actually kneel for the anthem?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
So it's just weird to me. They had on the NFLPA president. Jake Lockhart said after Sunday night with all the protests for the NFL, he kind of sent a little shout out to Donald Trump and said, "No, this is what locker room talk really looks like." which I thought it gave me chills to hear him say it, because that's something that's profound, something you want to hear, like a sign of unity in this country, not the division that Trump's kind of going for right now. So.
Right, yeah, Derek, you got anything over there?
I know, dude. Derek's stewing over here.
No, I've just been listening, honestly. Like, I'm not plotting my revenge. No. Again, for me, I've always said from my get go, my stance has always been, I know where I stand, and everyone is able to make their own stance. Yes, make your own stance of where I believe. You know,
right.
And everyone's allowed to create their own reality out there. And if someone finds that comfortable to doing so, go for it. I have no problem with you doing it, and I'm not gonna find any qualm with that, because I feel like that's just it's pointless, you know.
Yeah.
Now I totally agree with having a discussion about what Kaepernick's topic is. That's a conversation that should be talked about. I guess that's kind of what the issue has kind of become, is just the way he's gone about it, trying to present that argument or that protest has definitely. That's why y'all need to be careful in how your protests take face, because I don't want this protest to now turn into this fad, you know, like this, I'm kneeling, hashtag kneel, you know, that type of thing, you know?
Right.
And I've always said for Cap, I always respected him because he's always put his money where his mouth is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's gone out there and backed what he's saying. And if you're going to take these stances, these big proclamations where a lot of eyes are on you right there, where a lot of these guys have big platforms and a lot of resources behind them, I just hope that it goes beyond this. That if you really care about this topic, if this is the issue you truly are care about, you might say, oh, well, we need your help. But every single time you point the finger, there are three fingers pointing back at you. So for those players who make that stance, you're allowed to take that stance as much as you want, and I will stand with you to do that. But I hope that they go back there and actually put their money where their mouth is, as Cap has done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help them out in those situations. Bring awareness to those causes. Create a conversation that's not divisive, as we've seen with leaders out here in this country. The division is not what we need right now. Division has always torn people apart. Divided, we fall.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
United, we stand. Divided, we fall. And to be able to create conversations that bring that unity of police brutality into the black community and trying to end that, find the causes of that. So that's what I hope is going to be happening from this side. We're not just going to get into this fad because I can just, I don't want to say I see it happening, but you kind of see it happening where people are just like, oh, I'm doing this for the attention of it now.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think this has become a thing where it's you have to take sides, and I don't.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah,
I
don't think
they
are.
I can still stand for the national anthem and still believe that there is an issue with police brutality.
Exactly.
I can kneel with the national anthem and still have a belief in this country.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they're not mutually exclusive right there.
Yep.
Well put. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Talking About Practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Need that soundbite for your news?
I do not. No.
Okay.
No.
You want to give me the old cord here. And so I can get you some news music. And we go ahead and get that started.
Yeah.
So Derek has some news for us, ladies and gentlemen.
I do. Always keeping a lookout for highlights of the news that I just find
interesting.
There
you go.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
It's everywhere, y'all. I'm covering the world, okay? And in that world coverage, we're all here today, actually, even though the world was supposed to end yesterday.
Oh, right.
To the Christian numerologist. However, he said he got his miscalculations incorrect, obviously. And now let's push it back to October. So be wary, people. It's still going to happen.
It'll be November.
Yeah, it always happens. Same with the people that try to predict earthquakes. You cannot do it, people. If this guy is a Christian numerologist, he will know. It says in the Bible, no one will know when it will happen. It will happen like a thief in the night.
Yes.
So don't try to predict it, guys. Just live it up. Live it up. Correctly, if possible. Continuing in this fashion right now, I got to give this guy a highlight right now because it's as awful as it is, it's kind of spectacular a little bit. Darren Sproles, in the same play, broke his arm and tore his ACL. That's like bad day times 12. And well, then add another.
That could be career ending too.
Yeah.
Didn't he stretch also during the national anthem?
I know LeSean McCoy did.
Oh, that was McCoy? I was going to say, he got some extra stretches in. I'm surprised he got injured.
But no, Darren Sproles got a tough day yesterday.
Man.
It's just tough because Darren Sproles is, I love that guy. What he's able to do, tiny little dude that just, he'll tear you. He's like a terrier, man. Keeps going. For those of you who are out there that are Narcos fan, as I am on Netflix, should be a little weary.
This is Douglas.
Because.
CBS News.
Oh, yes. Could be a. I got my little sound bite going. Could we pause it a little bit? Yeah, I got.
Oh, yeah.
The actual news going over my news right now. Sorry, man. Yo, stop encroaching, dog. Yes, so back to that. Narcos fans out there, which should be a little weary because Pablo's brother is suing Netflix for $1 billion.
What?
Billion. Because of his use of the brother without his consent. So, it's still going on. They just released a new season. And this happened actually last year. He started trying to follow this lawsuit. So, I don't know. It's Colombia. And the cartel is somehow connected in some way. He's Pablo's brother. So, I don't know. Netflix fans, it's a little iffy.
Billion is a pretty heavy stake to ask for.
I mean, from what Pablo made, it's like pocket change, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's a rubber band right there. Give him a band. That's one band for him is a billion. All right. Keeping it local right now. If you had a chance to, Joe and I actually this past week went to a couple soccer games.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the men's soccer against Stanislaus State. I was there for the women's Wildcat Roar right there.
Is that what that was?
That was feist right there.
Yeah.
That was very
I'm a little
feist.
Under the weather, so I can't do my normal one. But
yeah, I'm not going to even try to attempt it. I was going to try right there, but I'm not prepared to embarrass myself. I'm really not. It could have been great, but the potential for awfulness was there, too. The Chico men won 2-0.
That was a fun game, too.
For a great game. Yeah, they scored on a free kick, actually, which is nice. It was great from outside the box for their 100th win. The women won 3-1 against Stanislaus State. And then during the weekend, the men beat SF State 1-0. Same score for the women. So the men and women stay unbeaten at home right now for soccer. So if you get a chance, I'd highly recommend going out. There's actually a pretty good atmosphere. There's a lot of people are out there. I was kind of really surprised by that.
Yeah,
and you actually,
when you're watching it, you forget how much fun it actually is watching the soccer in person. I really highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
It really is nonstop movements.
Thanks for the invite, guys.
It's a good time.
And these coaches have been doing a great job these past few years.
Yeah,
so.
They have. And so Chico State, shouts to you guys. Trying to get him on the show. I have reached out a little bit through contacts. I'm trying to wait on some reply to hopefully get some of the soccer players in here so we actually get to meet the team and they can present it to themselves. Last bit of news right now for the technology buffs that are out there. Levi is presenting a jacket. Primarily for bike riders. My bikes, I mean motorcycle riders. Because those are people who wear denim jackets nowadays, really, anyway, unless you're a hipster, which I probably am, and I'll probably go buy one at some point in time in my life. But Levi has presented created a smart jacket where it connects with your phone. If you do certain movements on its sleeve, it will give you notifications. It will tell you scores, play music, turn it on and off.
Because that's what you need on a two-wheeled motorcycle.
Right. Well, you got one arm on the handlebars, and you just touch your real wrist right there. It's all safe, man. Trust me. I ride a motorcycle. I'm bad.
Which is by far the most surprising thing when I met you that I found out.
Right. Yeah. You probably would not. I'm not very unassuming bike rider.
No, I thought you were more into like artisan jams and whatnot, just based on your beard. Sorry,
he doesn't
go
love
ahead.
A good boysenberry preserve, though, I'm just going to say. Okay. Well, that is the end of my news right there. So we can continue going on to sports. So, Levi, it's going to actually cost $350. So if you are interested in that, prepare
to spend. It's a $350 denim jacket?
Denim jacket, yeah.
Oh.
But the fiber's like, it's got like, the thing, it's like woven. They say that the technology is like woven into the jeans and whatnot.
Well, that's impressive. Material,
right? Yeah. So that's why $350.
It's about to pop off in Canada.
American craftsmanship right there. Made in China.
All right.
Are they made in China? No, they're made in America, aren't they?
No, they're made in, I don't know.
Thailand, maybe?
Isn't everything
Nothing's made in
China?
Made in America anymore.
Yeah, we don't make stuff.
No. We just outsource
what
stuff.
What is this?
Buy stuff.
Yeah, come on, man. Moving on. Going and thank you for the sport or the news. Let's get back into some fun stuff. Let's do some quick rapid fire. We'll stay with Trump just for a second because this was actually funny.
Yeah, this was hilarious.
Trump uninvited Steph Curry after saying that he hesitated with the invite. Therefore, he is no longer invited, which again, to John's point about Trump having the Twitter fingers of a 17-year-old girl, I would say it's closer to 13. Becky didn't invite me to her sleepover, so I'm not inviting her to mine. Seems to be his logic here. Yeah. And
it's kind of like the I dumped her. No, I dumped her first.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's beyond that. And, you know, it's difficult to uninvite someone who doesn't want to go in the first place. So
I mean, he turned down the, like, he pretty much said twice he wouldn't be going. He said after the championship he probably wouldn't go, and then he kind of reaffirmed it.
Right.
And then he sent out this tweet.
But I always find it funny. It's like when you don't really want to go out and you're going to flake on your buddy, and then your buddy hits you up and says they can't make it, and you're like, oh, man, you sure? Inside, you're like, yes. I didn't want to do anything anyway. So that I thought that was kind of funny. That then led to LeBron James calling him a bum. Trump a bum, and then of course Kobe Bryant had to get in there and say something about Trump being divisive and whatever, because I mean Kobe just can't let it go and needs to stay in the spotlight. Much
Mama
similar
mentality, y'all.
Yeah, very similar. Well, I mean, and he's still one of the biggest superstars, and you know, basketball players in the world.
No doubt.
Even though he's been retired a couple of years, much like Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning, you can feel free to get off my TV at any point. Take a break, bro, because I am tired of seeing his face. That has nothing to do with anything, but I wanted to mention it at least. We have a couple NBA trades to get into, but before we do that, real quick. There's a lot of funny stuff that happened this weekend, and if I could just run through a few of them, and then we'll get into these trades. So, did anyone see that player take Mark Ingram's shoe from New Orleans and begin to toss it to him and then throw it to the opposite sideline?
I missed that.
So Mark Ingram got was going through the line. Some player was low, tried to grab his foot, held on to his shoe, got up after the play was over, began to toss it in Mark Ingram's direction. Halfway through, turned and chucked it towards the Carolina sideline. So Mark Ingram had to run all the way to the Carolina sidelines and then to the opposite sidelines to get off the field. And they almost got a 12-man on the field penalty.
So brilliant play by
that smart was football.
A heady play.
Yeah, that's smart football. Well, growing up, I was taught that. You know? You're at the bottom of a pileup, you unlace somebody's shoes.
Yeah.
They got to go over for it. I mean, if that guy, I mean, which Mark Ingram is that type of player, if they're in day in and day out working over your defense, I'm going to do anything to get that dude off a field for at least one or two plays.
Yes.
And if it's taking your shoe and throwing it to the other side of the field, the only thing better was if he would have threw it to the other side of the field and it would have, like, caught from, like, one of his teammates and they would have just kept passing it around like, no one has. I don't know
what it is. A little hot potato action on it, yeah.
Throw it into the stands, you know, just keep traveling back like
exactly.
A beach ball, you know.
Another funny thing, this was actually hysterical. Doug Marrone and the Jags faked a punt up 37 to nothing, which is just awesome. I thought that was great. Odell Beckham Jr. pretends to pee like a dog in the end zone after scoring a touchdown. And the best part of it is I was watching it on Red Zone, and Scott Hansen was like, oh, we got to cut away. We cannot show that. And saying, come on, man.
I feel like Odell didn't do himself right. It would have been better if he went over to the pylon.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to pee on the pylon.
Okay. Like I think he stole this from European football.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've seen honestly, that a lot on when they score goals, yeah, they'll go over to the corner, to the flag. Yeah. You know, and
I really
lift
honestly, speaking on that note a little bit, I'm kind of disappointed in the celebrations that are happening.
They've been weak.
They've been really weak.
Yeah. Like, let's step it up, guys.
I really feel it. I want all 11 players incorporated into one celebration.
Like I said, I want all 53 players.
Yeah, I want to see that nationwide commercial where it's like the lineman sitting down on all fours and the receiver sitting on top of him, and it's like a four-man band.
Yeah,
that would be.
And the guy has the football and he's singing
with it like a
microphone.
Take note, they have 11 guys on a soccer field. Maybe look what they do with their celebrations.
Maybe a Hingle McKringleberry celebration over here.
Two pumps, not three.
Yeah, no, it's only three pumps. You can't do four.
Oh, do three four. Pumps. Three pumps is okay. And the best thing I saw over the weekend was the new Ben Gay commercial with Shaq and a lady who was only maybe a foot shorter than him. The interesting thing is this lady clearly is not a foot shorter than him because her limbs were proportional. And so they had her on a platform and expected to fool all of us with that. And I don't understand what the point was.
Can we actually talk about going on Shaq right now? He has some of the weakest commercials ever right now. He's for the general. Like, that's who he's like a face for. But for the general, animated like insurance company.
But at least, I mean, him and Steph Curry's commercials are on the same level as of lame.
Yeah. Well, Steph Curry, I feel, is just he's bogged down by the people who like him because he's kind of...
But he's lame in, like, a cliche family way. You know what I mean?
He's like Brita Filter. He's Brita Filter stuff. That's who he is. Brita Filter is who he is. He's clean. He's got filters through, and he's
nice. But can't we have, like, at least a halfway creative commercial for Steph Curry?
You can't blame him. It's like, hey, Steph Curry, you want to be on... All right, write it for
yourself.
Yeah,
you can. You just say no.
Like, I was going to say, the one that he has,
something better.
Have you seen that one he's got with his daughter in it? That's cheesy as...
Yeah, the Xfinity commercial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my daughter...
Not good. Not good. I'm sorry, Steph. Love you as a player and probably as a person, even though we haven't met, but your commercials are terrible.
One thing I will say, going back to the non-invitational topic with Trump and Curry, the thing I kind of wanted to see is them accept the invitation and use that platform being at the White House to make a statement, make a stand and say something while they're there, get some ball rolling while they're there, instead of saying, you know, giving the proverbial bird, you know, to Trump, which in all counts is probably deserved. Mm-hmm. But, you know, using that platform, using your championship, you know, tour to go to the White House and get something done, you know what I mean? Get some action, you know, rolling.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I would like my sports and politics to be a little more separated.
Yeah, I kind of want to end the whole tradition of them meeting presidents anyway. I always thought it was a weird thing.
Church and state and politics and football.
Or sports politics in general.
Sports in general.
Like, it's just like we make it seem like he's like the emperor or something. That's like pay homage to him. Like,
yeah.
Oh, no. Just because they won
a championship.
No, he's a civil servant.
You know, like they won a championship. Why do they get to go to the White House?
Don't get me wrong.
You go to Disneyland. You don't go to the White House.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, if we could end that tradition, I'm with you.
They should have a one day where everyone goes.
There's less characters at Disneyland than there is at the White House right now.
There is right now. That's for sure. So that was all fun stuff for me. Funny stuff I found over the weekend. All right. We are running out of time. This is how ridiculous this weekend is. We're 45 minutes into an hour-long show, and we haven't talked about perhaps the biggest trade of the offseason. Melo ends up in OKC to join Russ Westbrook and Paul George. And hats off to Sam Presti, man, because he idiotically traded away James Harden, who has been MVP candidate ever since he got traded, and lost KD last season for absolutely nothing. But shouts to him. Now he's trying to get Dwayne Wade. They're recruiting Dwayne Wade, who just got bought out last night by the Chicago Bulls. So good for them. Good for Sam Presti. I don't know what this means because they all have a year left on their
deal. All the same position, though. You know what I mean? Like, what? How are they? If Dwayne Wade goes, how do they fill that five star? Like, does Dwayne come off the bench or?
Well, I would say
Melo laughed about Mello that today.
Yeah,
I would say Dwayne Wade would come off the bench, but he would be getting like 20 minutes, 30 minutes per game.
Yeah, because I mean, break it down. You have Westbrook at point. You have you can either change George or Carmelo at small forward.
Yep.
Well, you might as well put George at the two.
You could put George at two at shooting guard and put Melo at the small forward. Mm-hmm. And then Wade's kind of left on the six-man spot.
Yeah. Which they haven't yet, but yeah.
Right.
Wade could take Roberson's spot.
Oh, man.
Roberson's terrible offensively.
Terrible.
God.
Yeah.
So bad.
I am upset that they broke up the Stash Brothers. I did like Enes Kanter.
I felt like that was kind of a little Celtics-esque, you know, two days after he sends out a video saying how much he loves the organization and loves the city of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, all it means is two days later, they trade him. That's what it means. We'll take you for Carmelo. But even though I thought they were garbage right there.
I love how he's going to the Knicks, though, and like he's already discrediting the Knicks this season. Like we have no shot. He's like relaying to OKC, like beat the Warriors. Please, for me, beat the Warriors. Like, why don't you beat the Warriors as a Knick?
that's what everyone's thinking when you say that.
That's what he's thinking as he says that.
All I know, though, is if Carmelo's allowed to wear a hoodie this season, y'all might as well pack it up because the OKC's
82-0. Exactly.
Because there's never been a player greater on the face of this planet than Hoodie Melo this summer. It's been unreal.
Yo, Michael Jordan, take a seat.
Yeah. Hoodie Melo's here to stay. I love that he did his press conference in a hoodie today.
Loved it.
That was great. It looks like they're all having a really fun time with this, and that's just it's fun to see when guys can kind of make fun of themselves and have a good time like that. So I look forward to seeing.
Did you hear Stephen Adams' press conference when he was asked, like, oh, you're going to, what do you feel losing your friend? He's like, we ain't dead, mate. Just up the road.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good.
Why isn't anyone talking about another super team, though? You don't consider OKC a super team now?
I think any other season you would. But I think when you have the Golden State Warriors, that has now become...
You have the Houston Rockets in that conference, too. You've got a lot of teams that are coming up big.
Yeah.
Like, just in the Western Conference alone right now.
Oh, yeah. No, like, was it?
Lakers coming up huge.
Lillard said...
CJ McCollum.
No, CJ McCollum's like, the West is going to be a battle or a war?
No, the West is now a Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones,
it's going to be a war every night.
That's
which is
very accurate.
I mean, I don't think any team in the West you can predict besides the Warriors being in any seed. You can see the Warriors being that number one, maybe number two, depending on how their season goes, depending injury or whatnot, knock on wood.
There are 12 teams that can make the playoffs.
Right. I mean, it's crazy to think that the West, I mean, you could just ixnay the East and the West would be fun to watch this year.
Oh.
But on a playoff scheme itself.
Which is exactly why we need to get rid of...
Conferences.
We need to get rid of them.
They play them all each other anyway, so it's like there's no real division.
Are you talking about for scheduling or for...
No, I'm talking about for playoffs.
For seeding,
Really? Okay.
1 through 16.
All right. Yeah. That's new.
That allows us to get... That gives us a better chance of having the two best teams in the finals.
And those playoffs would be great.
Those playoffs
would be great because you have some garbage teams in the East make it in. And you're just like, why am I watching these seven games right now? Especially get rid of seven games. Start with five.
Why not have the East and the West, but then also have like the bottom eight of the East play the top of the West, and just do it that way. You could do it that way as well.
Yeah. That was so much. My head.
So you have the bottom eight of the East. We'll play
the top eight
of the West. So it'll be Warriors versus, and vice versa, and just go back and forth.
That's a really long playoff. I don't want everyone in my playoffs. No, that's got to be, you got to earn to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The fact that they already have 16, already have half, over half the teams in the
playoffs. So you're saying most of the teams are coming from the West now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. All right. Yeah. I mean, again, it wouldn't be East and West anymore. There would be no East and West. There just happened to be there more teams on the West side of the country and in the playoffs.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Right.
No. I would imagine that you would have 10 to 12.
I love Pat Riley was interviewed and asked what he thinks the Heat chances are this year on playoffs and the whole entire season. He goes, well, we don't have a Golden State in the East, so we're good.
I mean, which is accurate.
I mean,
they're probably a 3 seed now.
Yeah.
I mean, how well do you think? Do the Cavs, like I said, like now we take it on that, do the Cavs legitimately have a chance to like take on the Warriors?
No. Unless,
but I don't think anyone does this year.
They have to have, I mean, the Cavs have to make another crazy move to get, whether it be pulling in Wade and another player.
Well, Wade's not going to do it. Not this version of Wade. You know, I just don't think, the Cavs have the cap space or the players to get that deal done.
Right.
So I just don't think there is a legit huge threat to the Warriors. Obviously, the Spurs are going to be good. Houston's going to be much improved. OKC is going to be much improved. But again, those guys are all adding pieces. It's going to take a minute for them to figure that out.
Especially that OKC team.
Yeah. That's going to take a lot.
The Miami of old where they have to, you know, give it a year before they find their...
Right.
But you give it a year,
or at least half season. Or at least half a season.
Well, they better get it done in a half season because that year, I'm sure George is leaving. And, you know, Westbrook signed that big extension that might be enticing for those guys to stay. But
I mean, he's been, from what it sounds like, Westbrook has been making, he loves OKC.
He's a lifer, I think. I do respect him in that sense. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't like about Westbrook, you know, but.
What don't you like about Westbrook?
I just don't like the arrogance that he has in
you dunk on fools like he does. I think you're allowed to get arrogant a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like,
you're in the minority here, buddy.
I think Westbrook is...
I'm on your side. I gotta say.
Two and two.
Be a little bit more humble. It's like, you're great.
He's great on the court.
It's amazing.
Great player on the court. I just think an interview standpoint or anytime any...
He calls out incompetence, I feel.
He's in front of a camera and someone asks him a question, it's like the stupidest question that anyone's ever asked him, and he's way above answering it.
I can see that.
It's just swallow your pride a little bit and just answer it like any professional would.
Or just do what Lynch did.
I kind of think that's what he's trying to do, is just like more of a play on like, okay, I'm just going to play this game and I'm going to play it my way.
Yeah.
Because I respect his game.
I think
he's talking the game off of where I'm talking about, the game with the media.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I know I have to do this, but I'm going to like just make this get my own game, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of, I like it. That's how I kind of see it. Because I've always kind of thought it rather absurd to like give all this media attention to these guys who just played a basketball game. Like, oh my gosh, how did you feel out there? What were you thinking when you made the shot? I hope it goes in.
Well, I will say they get asked the same question over and over and over.
Yeah.
So it's got to be tedious. I would like to think that if I was a superstar, that I would start to have fun with it and kind of mess with the media. But I mean, it's got to be infuriating when people ask you how you feel after a game. It's like, I just feel like I played a game.
A little tired. Yeah. I need to get some.
I mean, because they have to deal with a lot of dumb questions.
Yeah.
They probably get one good question to, you know, one of 100 questions are actually good that make them think. And the rest of them is just kind of going through the motions. So, I don't know. This NBA season is going to be so much fun. I am really looking forward to it.
We see the LeBron interview this morning.
No,
I watched the whole thing. That was
live coverage.
One.
It was a good shining light on LeBron. Honestly, I put a notch up in my book for LeBron.
Oh, yeah.
They interviewed him about the first time since, you know, Kyrie's trade, and you know, asked him a bunch of intense questions. I thought LeBron would take to the petty side of it. You know what I mean, and how he usually does. But some of the questions he answered were really legit, humble answers. And really, really cool for, I mean, if I'm Kyrie listening to this interview, it was cool. I mean, just to say, you know, I mean, long story short to say, you know, I love the guy, you know, gave him as much advice as I could, wish him nothing but the best.
So why would LeBron tell us what he said?
Yeah. Oh, do you have some soundbite for it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
A ton of emotions. You know, I was wondering if something I could have did better to make him not want to be traded. Is it the way that the season finished, or was it me coming back in the first place? Was it the coaching changes or the GM change, or I don't know. I had so many different emotions go through my head, and for me personally, you guys know, you guys are around, for the guys that was around every day, I try to do whatever I could do to help the kid out, be the best player he can be, try to help him, you know, be a better leader, be a better scorer, a better floor general, a better defender, a better passer, getting guys involved, a better leader vocally. I try to give him everything. I try to give him everything and give him as much of the DNA as I could, because like I told you guys throughout the season, at some point when he was ready to take over the keys, I was ready to give them to him. So the only thing I'm upset about is that he took a lot of the DNA and the blueprints now to Boston. That's the only thing I'm upset about, really. Other than that, I mean, I wish the kid great health. And the kid wanted to do what was best for his, I guess, for his career. And you know, I give credit to, you know, our GM, you know, Kobe, and our to the ownership for granting that for him.
I wish we played that like a half hour ago, because that was super interesting, and I would love to talk more about that. But we have about 2 minutes left in the show. But
three.
That was weird, because it wasn't passive aggressive LeBron.
No, it was a weird day.
It wasn't like petty LeBron.
It was like a real human being LeBron.
It was like an adult LeBron.
Yeah, could see. He also went on to say, it was funny. He also went on to say, will you be giving advice, you know, to Kyrie in the future? And he said, hell no. You know,
yeah. Why would he?
He either you're with us or you're against. He's like, if I played in the league, my son came into this league and he was on another team, I wouldn't even give him advice.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, we could go have dinner, but I ain't giving him advice. You know. Yeah. So it's just, I feel like it was like the realest moment I've seen LeBron in front of the media, which was cool.
That was cool, yeah, because Kyrie went on First Take last week and just made a mess of everything.
Yeah.
And didn't answer any questions and came with a lot of millennial nonsense about staying woke and just avoiding questions. And it was bizarre. I did not understand what the point of his appearance was. Because
it's a well-crafted LeBron on what it is. Like, that's LeBron is, I think he's a very media savvy guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Totally is. And he saw what happened to Kyrie when he presented himself out there. So like, a part of me is still gonna like hold a little true that he puts an act on a lot of times.
Oh, for sure.
And plus, we might want to see, this might be the realest one, but I think this is just him trying to say, yo, did you hear me? He kept calling him the kid all the time.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong.
That's kind of backhanded a little bit.
I mean, 100%, a little
yeah.
Kept calling him the kid all the time. So he knew where he's coming from. He's like, yo, I can take the high road and make myself look so good right now.
At the same time, too, I feel like he knows he's leaving after Cleveland, and he's probably gonna be hated yet again. So he's like, all right, I'm going to do everything in my power this season to come off humble, to get his stock back risen, and then leave Cleveland like everyone else would. Sorry.
IT's there for life.
It's not a show if we don't rip on Cleveland.
Well, you got to understand, for me personally, because I went in on Cleveland a couple weeks ago, I got to be extra sensitive to them now. So that's why.
Yeah, touché.
That was that reaction.
I'll pick up your slack.
Whoever was just calling us, we appreciate it. We don't have a producer to answer right now, but we will have a number you could text next week, so that'll be cool. Other than that, man, we have like three more hours of topics we could hit, but let's save them for a podcast. Well, we have no choice because we have to go. But this was fun. This was fun. This wasn't nearly as convoluted and difficult to show as I thought it would be. And so I want to thank you guys for that, because that could have been really tough. Derek, we never got to your foot and mouth. So
yeah, hey.
You have like 10 saved up now.
I do have a couple, man. There's a lot of stories coming your way, y'all.
All right, so look forward to that. Next time we're on, we'll let you know where to go find us on the podcast and all that stuff. We're still sorting it out. And I'll give you a number to text. But in the meantime, in between time, it's been real. Thank you for listening. FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are talking about practice, and we will be back next Monday, 5:30 p.m. Thank you.
We out.
Later.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Here it is.
Stay tuned for the show. Starts right now.
Your audio device of choice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all very excited today. Herbie's excited because we have a new station on the ever static Le Show Network. No static at all. WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, home of the show program. Welcome aboard, WFHB. Glad to have you with us, and all of your listeners, of course, or all of them who stayed up. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the week that the media finally decided, let's go.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
There you go. This is the week that we finally stopped paying attention, or the media did, to the new book by Hillary Rodham Clinton. I guess she won now. At least the attention being paid stopped once we had been told how long the lines were to get in to see her at her bookstore appearances. So, winner or loser, crowd size is what counts. We also apparently gave Puerto Rico what it's been seeking for so long, independence from the United States, because the complete devastation of an entire island got as much attention late in the week, into the weekend, as it would have if it happened, you know, somewhere else. So I guess it is somewhere else. Congratulations to them all. And you know that in response to President Trump's tweets and comments about NFL players and NBA players,